2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. I'm going to ask you to stand just for the reading of God's word. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And then Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And the title of my message is, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you right now. Lord, we ask you to fill this sanctuary with your presence. Let there be an anointing. Lord, give me utterance that I will speak your words, Lord, that it will bless, that it will edify, that it will encourage, Lord God. We thank you for your presence and your anointing. Hallelujah. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, what shall you say? Amen. You may be seated. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I'm not going to keep you very long. Not going to keep you very long, but I want you today to focus your thoughts upon this scripture. See, we are challenged today on the left and on the right with trials and tribulations of all kinds. I don't think there's anyone can say they're just on easy street, that they're just breezing through life. But the question is, how do we react to them? How do we deal with them? In other words, what shall we say? How are we going to respond to the crises of life? How are we going to deal with the things that come into our lives to destroy us, to take away our faith, to beat us up, to just pull us down? How are we going to react? In other words, what are we going to say in reaction? You know, when people ask me how I'm doing, you know what I say? Better than I deserve. Why do I say that? Not because maybe I'm going through the happiest moment, but listen, no matter what I'm going through, I know this, I'm doing better than I deserve. I am so blessed by God's grace and His mercy, because no matter what I'm going through, there's someone somewhere that's going through worse. There's someone somewhere right now who's being tortured. There's someone somewhere who's being beaten. There's someone somewhere who's being beheaded. There's someone somewhere who's crying out in pain. So right now, all of you are doing better than you deserve. No matter how bad you think you got it, there is someone who is worse off. There's someone right now who has no food. There's someone who has no shelter. There's someone who is in despair. But right now, you're in a place where you're being told there is hope, there is life, there is promise, there is blessing, there is restoration, there is help. You're in a place where you can hear the word of God. You're in a place where you can sing God's praises. You're in a place where you can give Him glory. You're doing better than you deserve. Because I'm telling you, what we deserve under the law, you know what we would be getting? Most of us would be dead. I understand that I don't come to this with any skill. I don't bring any goodness. I don't bring any self-worth. It's all God's doing. That's why I'm going to say I'm doing better than I deserve. Because of God's mercy, because of His love, because of His care, I'm doing so much better than I deserve. Every time I've got in trouble and I've turned to the Lord, He's rescued me. He is my way maker. Hallelujah. He is my salvation, as we studied in Sunday school. You know, the Bible tells us that we have to declare some things over ourselves. We've got to speak some things into our atmosphere. We've got to speak some words of life into our situation. We've got to declare some things and let the devil know where we stand. The most powerful thing you can say is God's word. Did you know that? The most powerful thing you can say to your situation is God's word. I'll tell you why. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says the very words of God framed the universe. It says that we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The whole universe was created by His three words, let there be. That's why you have to speak some words into your situation. That's why I asked the question, what will you say? What are you going to say to the things of life that come to you? You need to have something to say. You can't just close up your mouth sometimes. You have to speak back to Satan. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What's that telling us? That God spoke things into existence. You want God to speak some tangible things into your world, you need to speak out some words of faith. You need to lay hold on the promises that God has promised us. You know, in the New Testament, they were always asking Jesus his opinion. They were always asking him for some words. Most of the time, though, he didn't answer because they were trying to trap him. They were trying to get him to say something that they could use against him. Sometimes you have to be silent when the devil is speaking. Sometimes you have to hold your peace. Sometimes you have to be quiet. Jesus knew when to be quiet. In John chapter 8 verse 4, they brought this woman in the very act of adultery. And they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. You know, they thought this was a time he would speak out. A lot of us would speak out. We'd say, yeah, let's punish her. Let's bring judgment. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Sometimes it's a trap of the devil. Sometimes you got to learn to hold your tongue. Sometimes you have to just be quiet. Sometimes you have to know when to speak and when not to speak. Verse 6 said this, they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote in the ground as though he heard them not. Sometimes you got to ignore the devil. Sometimes you got to tune him out. Because if you listen to his words, they're beguiling. They will start to depress you. They'll start to get you mad. They'll start to give you doubt. The Bible says faith comes by and hearing by. So don't listen to the wrong words. Because hearing will also bring you doubt if you listen to the wrong words. You got to listen to the words of God. Because it's only those words will bring you faith. See, Jesus knew when not to speak. In this case, he knew they were just trying to trap him. So he just pretended that he didn't hear. He let them keep... Sometimes you got to just ignore the devil. Hallelujah. Put on a song. Drown him out. Drown out his words of doubt and fear. See, if you start arguing with the devil, you're going to be in trouble. Let me tell you a secret. He's smarter than you. He's smarter than you. Don't ever, the Bible says don't argue with a fool. And there's a saying that says he'll bring you down to his level and beat you with experience. Sometimes you say nothing. The only conversation you need to start with the devil is in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. Be gone, Satan. Amen. That's what you got to tell the devil. Don't start to reason with him. The only conversation you need with the devil, if you're not going to say something, is in the name of Jesus. You be gone. Hallelujah. Don't try and start a conversation with the devil. You see, he wants to talk about how your finances are. If you start actually reasoning with him, you're going to end up agreeing. Yeah, they're in bad shape. I don't know what I'm going to do. Yes, the doctor said I need all this medicine. I don't know what. He'll tell you all the stuff. But don't you start talking to him. You need to rebuke him. Hallelujah. He's going to talk you through your finances and tell you how bad they are. He's going to talk you through all of the relationships and how bad they are. Don't you talk back to him. You just ignore him. That's what Jesus did. You see, we are only commanded to speak in certain situations. In Romans 8:31. Paul asked the question, see, we are going to go through some trials. We are going to go through some tribulations. And we are going to have to stand before God and give an account. And my question is, And what Paul says, what shall we say then to these things? What are we going to say to the things that come in our life? Are we going to say, well, I couldn't do it. The devil beat me up and I failed. No, that's not what we are supposed to say. Paul is saying, listen, what shall we say to these things? Are we going to let the devil mess our lives up? Are we going to let the devil win? No, we're going to say, I am more than conquerors through Christ. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to say. What should you say to these things? The devil is saying, give up. He's saying, there's no hope. You're done for. Don't have that conversation. His only method is to bring doubt, to sow lies, to bring discord, to sow chaos. What you're supposed to say is, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's what the answer to the question, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Some of you missed what I said in Sunday school. I probably won't repeat. You're going to have to ask those in Sunday school. But God did a blessing for me this week. I told my wife how God did some work for me that was just unbelievable. I knew it was Him. Amen. So it's so unbelievable. Saved me weeks of work. Amen. If God be for you, who can be against you? You know, you don't mess with someone who's God's child. You know that? Even David wouldn't touch Saul. Even David would not touch Saul. God put him up. God has to take him down. You see, when we are truly a child of God, as we said in that scripture, when we are converted, when we come to God as a little child, He is going to take care of us. Amen. 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 You know, one of the greatest examples I remember is when Chris told me about how one of his children just jumped off of a ledge. They just jumped off expecting him to catch. Didn't give him any warning saying, Dad, I'm going to jump. They just jumped. You know what? He had to catch him. I'm telling you that if you're God's child, if you humble yourself before Him, He is going to cover you. He is going to give you that ring and that robe, because the answer to the question is, what shall we say to these things is, if God is for you, who can be against you? Romans 8:35 goes on to say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, is that going to be your excuse? Or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? I tell you what, every one of us is going to have to stand before God and give an account. What are you going to say? I'm going to say, Lord, thank you for taking me through. Thank you for being my strength when I was weak. Thank you for your mercy when I messed up. Thank you for your grace when I didn't deserve it. I'm doing much better than I deserve. Hallelujah. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? None of those things is going to be an excuse. I've told you the story so many times of that brother in that church who had MS. Who everybody left him, his family, his children. He was only 35, and by the time he was 35, he was almost totally paralyzed. But every Sunday almost without fail, he was brought and put on the front queue. And I was on the platform, and I would see him trying to raise his hands. I'll never forget that. You have no excuse. No excuse. No excuse. God is just going to turn to some people and say, what's your excuse? What shall you say then to these things? You're going to give God some wimpy excuse? The devil made me do it? No, you need to say, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. God isn't going to ask your mommy or your daddy about your salvation. He's not going to ask your sister or your brother. It says every man, every woman's going to have to give an account for themselves. Do you know something? He's coming back. He's coming back. And it's much sooner than you all think. I know you've heard that before. But in a day you think not, that's when it's going to happen. Hallelujah. You see, what we say is more than what we speak. It's how we live. What you say is not so much what you say, but it's how you act. It's your lifestyle speaks louder than your words. Your actions speak much louder than anything you say. In Ephesians 2:3, Paul makes that clear. Speaking among the Gentiles, he says, among whom also we had our conversation. He's speaking about my lifestyle. In times past, in the lust of the flesh, at one point, our lifestyle was a mess. But when we come to Christ, it should be transformed. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of one mind, and we're by nature children of wrath. We don't want to go back to being children of wrath. He says, even as others. We need to be able to say something different with our lifestyle. Our walk should speak for itself. Our lifestyle should say something about what we believe. Or not. Or not. Because God is going to ask us to give an account. I want to say, Lord, I did my very best. I did my very best. I tried to do what you wanted me to do. Maybe I failed a few times, but you know, I'm here. In Sunday school, I told the scripture about the rapture and how we're going to be changed. But the important word in that scripture says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall arise first. And now here's the important part for you all. And those that are alive, it's the remain part. Those that are alive, there'll be lots of people alive, but not everybody will have remained. It's he that endureth to the end, the same. See, what shall you say to these things? Not with your mouth, but with your life. That's what we got to do. We were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God is so rich in mercy. I've messed up so many times. But God has always kept on pulling me back and giving me opportunity. And you know, Paul said he did not waste the grace. He didn't waste it. When God gave him an opportunity to be saved, he ran. We have to come running to that mercy seat. Your life is your conversation. It's what we speak that defiles us. What are you saying? What are you going to say to these things? What will we say to God when we stand before him? Can he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord? Can he say that about us? James chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. You know what that's talking about? Sometimes you can deceive yourself. You can say stuff till you think it's true. You know, that's so amazing, but that's what the scripture says. 2 Peter 3:11 saying, seeing then that all these things, the same things that are bothering you, are one day going to be dissolved, then don't worry about it. What manner of persons ought he to be in a holy conversation and godliness? What shall we say then to these things? Both the trials of life and all the other things that come to take us down, to trouble us, to defeat us, to wreck our spirituality. Here's what David said in Psalm 91, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Can you say that today? Are you putting your trust in God? Are you putting your trust in him? Are you putting your faith in the risen Savior? But as I said, this has to be more than a saying. It's got to be in your conversation, how you live your life. You know, when I was growing up, everybody knew that my father was a preacher, so there was a lot of eyes on me. Aren't you Bishop Brown's son? So I had to be careful, because it would get reported back. I had to know that whatever I did was going to be watched. I had to kind of be careful what I did. I wasn't perfect by no means. I was not. But God was so rich in mercy. The question today for you is, what shall you say to these things? Are you going to give God an excuse? Are you going to be like the one who had the talent and buried it and said, well, here it is, I'm here, I showed up. No, that won't do. Are you going to blame other people and say, well, they did this to me and they created this in my life and it was all their fault? No, he's going to show you so many other people who were in worse circumstance than you, who had so much other terrible things. And yet, just like that brother, they were still worshiping God. See, David went through some things. We're going to go through some things so that God can see where our heart is, where our real mind is, where our walk is. Do we love him for who he is, or do we love him for what he can do? What are you going to say to these things? The Bible says we're all going to have to give an account. We're going to have to give an account. You see, Paul at the end of his life understood that he was poured out like water. That's what Jesus said. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he says, "But none of these things move me." You've got to get to the place where the things that come up in your life, you've got to be anchored upon the rock, which is Christ, that you can say like Paul, none of these things move me. You can only say that if you're willing to give your life. Oh yeah, when the mark of the beast comes, I'm going to refuse it. But you can't come to church. You're so tough, you're going to refuse the mark of the beast, but you can't come to church. You can't pray. You can't fast, but I'm going to refuse the mark of the beast. See, we need to get to the point where we can say, honestly, none of these things move me. Things are going to come. There's no doubt about that. Things are going to come. Even Jesus was betrayed. He called him friend. There are going to be hurts in your life. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. But like Paul, you have to get to the place in Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's what I'm trying to tell you. No excuse about what you're going through is going to be accepted because there's someone worse than you. What you're going to have to say is, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Yes, there's going to be tribulations. Yes, there's going to be problems. Some of them, though, is our own making. Let's be honest. Some of them are choices that we made. Don't blame anyone else. I have to point to me, I, and myself. 99% of the stuff I got into was me. Wasn't anyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, when I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, right? That's how the song goes. Amen. He rescued me. Hallelujah. He lifted me up. Hallelujah. You see, what we've got to do is be like the woman with the issue of blood. What did she say? She said, if I can touch him. If you want to be delivered today, you need to have something to say. You got to say, if I can touch him, my life will be changed. The issue, maybe your issue isn't of blood, but you got some issue. She said, if I could touch him, something's going to change. The issue that you're dealing with can be changed. What are we going to say to these things? Are you going to say, like Paul, in this I remain confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord? You got to say something. What's its name? Bob Dylan wrote a song, "You Got to Serve Someone." But you're also going to have to say something, because the Bible says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account. What account are you going to give? You know the account I want to give? I want to swap my book for his. I want to be able to his book. Here, Lord, here's your book. You gave it to me, and I ate all of it. Hallelujah. If you could stand with me today, I've told you I wasn't going to be long. If you have an issue today, you need to be saying like the woman that had that problem, if I can just touch him. He is the one that can change your situation, that can restore and renew and rebuild. He is the one that is our deliverer, because we are going to have to say something. You won't be able to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and have nothing to say, because the Bible says there is going to have to be an account given. In Sunday school today, we talked about the promise of salvation. And the promise of salvation is that we're going to escape judgment. That's the promise. But that promise is only to those who will receive Christ. I'm going to close this service, but I want to make an altar call here to say, if you don't know what you're going to say, there's an opportunity today to change what you're going to say. If you will reach out like the woman with the issue of blood and say, if I can only touch him. See, she decided in her heart that if she could only touch Jesus, her issue would be healed. I'm declaring and telling you today that if you can reach out by faith and touch Jesus, your issue will be healed. We may have all different issues, but it's what you say. The Bible says you shall have the fruit of your lips. What are you going to declare today? I am sure every single one of us in here have some issues that we would like God to heal. Maybe it's not physical like that lady with the issue of blood. Maybe your issue is finances. Maybe your issue is health. Maybe your issue is relationship. But God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. I wish I could tell you some of my testimonies, but they're so private. It's streaming out there and I can't say, but God did two things for me this week. He did two things for me that I know it was him, because it was a miracle. It really was. It was just a plain, no doubt miracle that was like a little hug. God said, you know, just a pat on the back to tell me, hang in there, tie a knot on your rope and hang in there. At the other end of the chain is Jesus. And he has said, I have never lost anyone. As long as you will hold on, his love is strong enough to pull you out. So if you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hold on. This altar is open. I want you to consider what you will say, because we're in a time of crisis in the world, in homes, in relationships, in finances. But I'm telling you that God is a loving God. He is willing and able to forgive. And I want to be able to say like Paul that none of this moves me. I will not let Satan defeat me. I will not let Satan steal my salvation. I want to come before the King of Kings. And I want to be able to say, Lord, I did my best. We're going to pray for those at the altar. Wherever you are in your seat, if you would just pray. Open up your heart to God and say, just like the woman, if only I touch the hem of his garment. If you will touch him today before you leave, I believe, I declare that God will start to work in your life in a way you haven't seen before. If you do it with a broken and a contrite heart, the word says he will not. It's not my words, that's his words. He will not despise. So it's up to us today to come before his throne. If we do in honesty and in integrity and in true repentance, he will say to us, I'm going to call for the best robe and I'm going to put the ring on your finger. Hallelujah. Father, Lord, we just thank you for showing up at Rehoboth today. Lord, for speaking to us, for giving us a word. Lord, we ask you right now, Lord, that you speak through us, Lord, words of healing, words of deliverance, words of forgiveness, words of grace. Lord, I pray your covering, Lord, that you put the robe, oh God, over everyone who has come to the altar. Oh God, that you cover us with your salvation. You cover us with your righteousness. That you hide our faults and failures. That you cover our sins. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, you set all our sins and griefs to bear. Hallelujah. What a privilege it is to carry everything to you in prayer. Lord God, we come to you this afternoon. Lord, we bear our souls to you, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord God, for forgiveness and for your grace and your mercy to rescue us, to pull us out of a dark place. Lord, whatever the issue for healing, Lord, we declare it by the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, church, I ask you to pray with me as I pray for these at the altar.